This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. What if you can't vote?
It's kind of like, ugh.
What if you're following all this political news, you have well-formed opinions, the next president will affect your future directly, and you can't cast a ballot?
You get kind of jealous because you want to get out there.
It's frustrating when we can't decide for ourselves and we have to let the adults decide for us.
Yeah, it sucks that I can't vote because, I mean, I want my voice heard as does everybody else.
These 16-year-olds, juniors at Blair High School in Pasadena, are frustrated they can't make their voices heard officially. And so unofficially, we're going to hear what they have to say. And they have a lot to say. You just heard Jaytona Williams, Pooja Shaw, and Heidi Reyes. We'll hear from more of their classmates. First, their history teacher, Alfredo Matthew.
One of the most wonderful things about being a U.S. history teacher is every 4 years we get an election.
What are some of the states that are in play in this election? Where are John McCain and Barack Obama spending a lot of their time this last week?
Pennsylvania, Ohio.
And election years are just so much fun to teach in because there's automatic engagement and there's automatic relevance to everything that we're doing.
Anybody need a ballot?
I need a pencil.
Do you need a voter guide to help you or no?
Pooja Shaw is handing out ballots at lunchtime with the same choices we adults will face tomorrow. These students here and at high schools across California are voting for the next president in a mock election. Let's go inside and talk with some of the students in Mr. Matthews' class, seven of them. In addition to the girls you already met, Pooja, Heidi, and Jaytona, there's Will Hunter, Damali James, Colin Kerford, and Katya English. Here are their top issues in this election.
The economic crisis and the war in Iraq.
The economic crisis and our foreign policy.
Also the economic crisis and the war.
Health care and education.
The economic crisis and immigration.
I would say the economic crisis and social issues like abortion and gay marriage.
Education and the financial crisis.
Almost all of them said the financial crisis because it affects them directly. Their school, Blair, is a public high school. It was almost shut down a few years ago because of academic problems. Now it's trying to reinvent itself. These are not rich kids, and most of them are not white.
My family has already lost a little bit of money as far as the college fund goes.
You know, as a kid, you think so high and you want to reach so far, but it's depressing to turn on TV and the news. First thing in the news is the economy. Dow takes another drop.
I definitely have thought about what it means after college, what it means when, depending on who wins this election and what they do, what the job market's going to look like.
I've always paid a lot of attention to my grades, but I've gotten almost kind of compulsive because scholarships are going to be very competitive.
I'm really going to be considering, how much money do we have to spend? Is that going down? So I'm not going to be looking at top colleges.
It's hard to be so ambitious, and in a shrinking economy and job market, that just means so many less opportunities.
Do you all feel that way?
Yeah.
And so they've been discussing the candidates' tax proposals. Really, tax proposals.
Barack Obama's may be a little bit too liberal for me.
That's where I'm kind of split. I agree with Barack Obama.
When I hear the phrase spreading the wealth, it makes me think of more comprehensive social welfare programs. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
As they've been saying, spread the wealth. I agree with that, but I don't know a great deal of taxes.
Okay, by now you may be thinking, these students are really well informed. How did that happen? Aren't they all supposed to be zoned out on video games and YouTube and not really bothering with an election they can't vote in anyway? Well, that's also been a head-scratcher for their teacher, Alfredo Matthew.
It's amazing to me that they have such formulated opinions. But what's also amazing is that they're flexible. They're not dogmatic. They definitely support one candidate over another, but they're able to understand that there's nuances and that there's validity in other points of view. And that's a complexity, a sophistication that I know I didn't have when I was 16 years old, but I feel that they possess it.
So where does it come from? Well, ironically, it may be YouTube, blogs, the internet, new media.
There is so much more accessible to them.
This campaign has lasted a long, long time, almost 2 years. And I'm wondering if you could sketch out for me where you were 2 years ago and what you're thinking about the candidates versus now, and when you kind of had your political revelation.
2 years ago, I would have considered myself
ignorant. I mean, I didn't know anything. I knew who was running. I could tell you the Republican candidates and the Democrat candidates. But I think at the time, I was a lot different than I am now. I was actually very into the Republican side. My dad's fairly conservative. He's probably going to go out and vote for John McCain. We try to avoid politics. It gets into a fairly evil bloodbath.
I've been following this election basically since the June of ninth grade, when Obama and Hillary and Edwards at that point still were kind of duking it out. And Obama was still kind of this upstart.
I guess 2 years ago, I wasn't so interested at the very beginning, but the issues that were being addressed and things that they were saying, I eventually got really, really involved. And now politics is like every day.
That last student is Heidi Reyes, the only McCain supporter in the group, maybe in Mr. Matthews' entire class. After our interview, Heidi and the others went outside to vote. The next time, it'll be for real.
Who needs a ballot?
And Alex, you can guess pretty much who won that election, that mock election.
Senator Obama.
Senator Obama, 73% statewide. And you heard their teacher marveling at how well-informed these kids are. He said the best-informed kids are the ones who are talking about this election at home with their parents. And parents, if you need some help talking about these issues, there are some pointers put together by a group called the Constitutional Rights Foundation. They also help teachers. It's a nonpartisan group. They have some tips, and those tips are at our blog, npr.org/daydreaming.
You know, this is going to sound like ancient history, but we, when I was in high school, were just fascinated by political developments because President Kennedy was assassinated while I was in high school. That rocketed everybody into that the kind of drama of the moment. Although that next election, President Johnson versus then-Senator Goldwater, nobody paid much attention to that back then.
Nobody did in your high school?
They weren't
really
debating it.
Even though there was a war going on at the time?
And well, that was kind of building and... Turned out many people in that high school class would wind up then later on finding out how important it is to pay attention to public policy. But then at that moment, it was all about what had happened to this great leader, President Kennedy. What about who was running when you were in high school?
Well, no one was really running, but we were just at the beginnings of the Reagan Revolution. This was in the early 80s. It seems like so long ago. The Reagan Revolution.
Yeah. So what about you, listeners? What about when you were in high school? Did you pay attention to politics and what campaigns were going on? And what did you learn from them? What do you remember from your first political campaign when you started to think about voting?
Yeah, you can go to our blog and weigh in. Once again, that address, npr.org/daydreaming.